Sorry. I'll cut you out. It's okay. Yeah.
He didn't. You said something that he said he did. You mentioned that he sort of made, not made up, but he was sort of grasping at straws at one point.
What do you mean? You feel when reading it that he, I mean, he's in the Holocaust. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's trying to, like, some of his theology, it doesn't stem directly from the sources. The sources obviously clearly discuss the notion of building up the land of Israel, but it's not direct that it says clearly you have to go and, okay, you know, redeem the Jewish people. It's not direct. He's reading into it, okay, which he wants to. That's really what we're kind of alluding to. Okay?
Okay, great.
So we'll just finish off the topic, and then he's going to go from topic to topic and be equally shocking. We're on Lamed Zion.
What's the important question? Parv or Chazon?
Parv Milke, yes. Parv.
Parv. Yeah. Those brownies are like... Oh. Okay. Well, Lamed Zion, and I have no idea where you are in the English. You know where you are in the English?
I didn't make a note. So
okay. Anyone you have the English? You know where you are? I don't know.
I don't know.
Umatzati, I found in Divrei Hayamim, Gabi David. Sure. I found it in Divrei Hayamim. You found it? You have it? In
Divrei Hayamim.
48. In Divrei Hayamim, regarding David, Shini Ya'etz im Yisrael. He's just going to finish up this topic before he gets to the next, this idea of being of actively involvement of the Jewish people prompting God to act afterwards. K'tiv, it says, Vayomer David l'chol k'ha Yisrael. David said to all of k'ha Yisrael, Im aleichem tov, umin Hashem Elokeinu nifritza. If you guys think it's a good idea and it's spread from the Lord our God, nishlecha aleichenu anisharim b'chol ha'atzot Yisrael. Let us send letters to all the land of Israel and all the land, right? Meaning, obviously, we're going to go build the Beit HaMikdash. V'yesh b'dakdek. Let's examine carefully. Lama hikdim David et Yisrael l'Hashem. Why did David put Israel before God? Because if you look carefully, look at the pasuk that David said, "Im aleichem tov." If upon you, if you think it's a good idea, and umin Hashem Elokeinu nifritza, and then it spreads out from God. So what comes first? You guys think it's a good idea, and then God thinks it's a good idea. Im aleichem tov, umin Hashem Elokeinu. Ayin sof yadayim dasu lasod ken. If you look in Masechet Yadayim, you're not allowed to do that. Ach nireli. When somebody finds it in English, let me know. Okay, you find it?
Daniel
find it. Okay, but it seems to me, the ayin b'Rashi shakatav, the Amar Alem, Rashi writes that David said, Kvar asaktem b'takanatchem, you have engaged in yourselves, in your own needs. Me'ata, from now on, tit asku b'kvod Elokim, embarrass yourself in the needs of God. Hare. Okay, behold. The ha'itza ha'itza lasod davar b'kvod Elokim. The advice, the initiative was to do something to honor God. Lashivet ha'aron Yerushalayim, to bring the aron, to return it to Jerusalem. Al kein lo ratzah David lahatchil b'shem Elokim, rak b'shmam shel Yitzrael davka l'deilo overan. Found it? Okay? For this reason, David did not want it to come directly from God. Rather, he wanted the Jewish people to be awakened first. Yan shenogeh l'kvot shamayim, he said, since the whole thing is Kavod Shemayim, it's the honor of heaven, it's appropriate for it to start where? With the people. And then God will do his thing. And therefore, and then the help will come from God. Therefore, he introduced it. Im aleichem tov. Davka aleichem tchila. If you guys think it's a good idea first, az taskimu lachem gam min hashamayim. And this will teach us, dvar Hashem, every good initiative of God, it's got to start with mankind, and then the help will come from Shemayim. I mean, your lawyers will look at me like, yeah, right, it makes sense. It is shocking. You want Mashiach to come? You start, and then God will bring Mashiach. That's like totally opposite of what we think Mashiach has been. I mean, I mentioned it last week. The idea of we're waiting. What's Mashiach? God brings Mashiach. Miracles happen. The world is redeemed. Comes along Rav Teichler and says, yes, but only if you start. You got to prime the pump. You got to start things first. Which is a very, very, interesting idea.
No one else before him has said,
Well, who said such an idea? Were you familiar with such an idea that when Mashiach will come, if we start it?
It sounds like when the guy was told to go to the Red Sea, so it split.
What's that?
And the guy was told to go in the Red Sea, so it's...
Very good. Now that you think about it, it goes back. But let's say, it's interesting, we're now reading the Parshiot of Shemot. Like, where do we see the Jewish people initiate their own geula, their own redemption? We don't really. God went to Moshe.
Right.
So there's a lot of interesting nuance in the story. I just a very interesting.
Didn't they know that they were going to be after 400 years, and then it turned into 210?
Why?
Because Moshe did an action. He killed the.
Very interesting. So it's interesting. So that's a very beautiful. I saw on this week's Makor Rishon an article by Rav Meidan, who's one of the Rosh Yeshivot in Gush. He said the Torah says that when Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian, in the verse it says Vayar ki in ish. Moshe looked around and he saw that there was no one there. So the Pashim Shah, the simple explanation is, what does it mean he looked and saw no one was there? He saw that no one would give him away. Right? But that doesn't make sense because the next day all the Jews were already talking about it. Like the simple understanding means that nobody was watching. But if nobody was watching, how did everybody know the next day? So Rabbi Dan said, based on another pasuk somewhere in Tanakh, because he knows the whole thing by heart, it's sick. Rabbi Dan said, Vayaki ein ish. Moshe saw that there was no one else to stand up for the Jewish people. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu thought that if he stood up to the Egyptian, he thought that the Jews would rise up together with him. That they needed somebody to like start it, right? And then they would all say, yeah, let's rebel. Because remember, in Numbers, right, who outnumbered whom?
The Jews outnumber the Egyptians.
They are greater than us. So why didn't the Jews rebel? Why didn't they stand up? Why didn't they, you know? Like, it's very interesting. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu thought that if he started it, they would stand up for themselves, and they didn't. So, and what happened after that? He ran away. And he said, these people don't deserve to be saved.
Hasn't been the first time in history.
What?
And then other times in history after that.
Right. You know, it's just a very interesting. It's a very interesting idea that we're supposed to start things. And if we don't, we're going to see this later on. God wants us to start things. If we do, great. And if we don't, there will come a point in which God will say, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to make sure that this thing happens. But in the ideal, redemption is supposed to come from us. We're supposed to start. You know what I'm saying? If Avraham Avinu had not found God, discovered God on his own, would God have revealed himself to Avraham? Would God have revealed himself to the world?
It's a big chicken and egg.
Yeah, the big chicken and the egg. But it's you know, the ideal, says Rav Teichtel, is when we elevate the name of God, and then God can reciprocate and say, okay, you guys started that, you elevated, you do the Shem Shemaim, so now we can move from there. Okay. Here we are. V'chein katuv agon ir v'kadish sharav adom ala malach Hashem tzvakot k'keshet marein rav Eliyahu av bezin de'graiditz. Everybody knows who that is, right? Okay. Ka'asher hivinu le'el v'zil shono, he wrote. V'gam v'secha ha'enoshihu, it is in the humankind, human inspiration, la'asog lifdot ha'adama ha'tchila me'itanu. We ourselves must redeem the land first. V'shuv yigmor Hashem, and then God will finish. V'yesh lirot godal ha'tachlit v'zeh, we should see this great tachlit, sha'klipa gover gam v'tzadikim yoter gdolim levatel atov v'zeh. He's now switching gears. It's a very important switch. I'm going to point it out. I'll read it again. V'yesh lirot godal ha'tachlit v'zeh, we should see this great thing, sha'klipa gover gam v'tzadikim yoter gdolim levatel atov v'zeh. What's the klipa? Anybody ever heard of this term, the klipa? What's the klipa? The shell.
That prevents us from seeing God in his true form.
Correct. So, I mean, in other words, what do we call it? Us non-Kabbalists, what do we call it?
Yetzer hara.
The Yetzer hara, okay, is gover, strong, even in the tzadikim, hayoter gdolim, the vatel atov hazeh, to negate this good. Yan, shekol koach haklipa, the strength of the klipa, talui begalut, It is dependent upon the exile. Ubibitul hagalut yivutalhu.
That's pretty strong.
And when the galut is gone, it will be negated. That's what the Rav Eliyahu Abezin of Raditz wrote. Halacha divrei kadosh Yisrael hanav. This man, this holy man, Asher Hagaon Bal Nefesh Chaya, who wrote the book Nefesh Chaya, mita'areyu b'shem ir v'kadish v'harav, this great rabbi, who is an angel of God, almost. He says explicitly, he says, that which there is, tzadikim, you're like even shocked, you read that a little, yeah. Who are against this, the klipa overtook them, levatel me'itenu et hadavar hagadol hazeh. to negate in them this amazing thing. That God wants us in every day, all in every hour. Basically, there's a huge question on Rav Teichel's whole thesis, which is, hello, Rabbi, if you really think it's so important to live in Eretz Yisrael, to settle the land of Israel, why are all the rabbis against you? Why are all the great tzaddikim against you? And his answer is, Johnny?
Well, it's because the Yetzer Hara has already got them.
Correct.
That's like pretty...
What?
Wonder why he's in
Hera. Yeah, you wonder.
It's like one of those plays, isn't it? How to win friends and influence
people. That's exactly correct.
Not this way.
Not this way, right. Exactly right. I mean, but, like, it's almost... But I underline. You see, I underlined here this piece. It's shocking. Basically, he says, well, if you're right, explain to me how all the rabbis are, say you're wrong. And his answer is?
Yes,
they're wrong. What?
So who is
and why does the Yetzer Hara get them? Because the Yetzer Hara knows this is the last straw. And the Yetzer Hara depends on the galus. So, I mean, they always say, this is actually quite true. Mm-hmm. The stronger, the power, more powerful the force, the greater the Yetzer Hara. Have you ever noticed when you're watching football, you never have any desire to learn? But when you're learning, somehow you have a desire to watch football. You know what I'm saying? Because the Yetzer Hara has no need to get you to do something, you know, Yetzer Hara, to waste your time when you're already wasting your time. You ever notice that when you're standing in front of God trying to daven, trying to pray, all of a sudden every single thing that you didn't have to think about, like on your ride home, on your drive, during dinner, all of a sudden you got to think about those things. Why? Because somehow Yetzer Hara knows this is when I have to get him.
I thought Hashem was blessing with a clear head.
Yeah, you're praying for the clear head. You ever wonder why the first thing you pray for in Shemoneh Esrei is Dat? Because if we have Dat, maybe we'll be able to have a good Shemoneh Esrei. Yeah, anyway, so it's almost shocking. I don't know, it's almost shocking. It's very shocking.
So who is this Rabbi Eliyahu?
Rabbi Eliyahu Av Beitin of Graditz.
Did he search this guy out for this source, or was this like a known guy that everyone was learning? But
or is he kind of misquoting it?
Yeah. I have no idea. Hold on a second. He says, look in the Haskamot, in the footnote number 10.
No, but I mean, like, you can take this guy out of context.
And we could read it like, ooh, nice quote.
Hold on.
You don't know what that is.
Born, one second. Okay. He was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. Okay. He made up Kilot, blah, blah, blah.
And Vilna Gaon was pro.
One second. Asak Arbe B'Kabbalah, V'Kprasen Kibal Mofik. He was a Kabbalist and like a wondrous person. Okay. The Vilna Gaon is very much known as?
As a pro.
Yes, the Vilna Gaon was very much in favor of Aliyah and encouraged as many students as he possibly could.
But he's just basically said that everybody else has got Yetzer Hara in them. And I mean, like, that's slander and everything, really. I mean, it's a nice way of doing it.
What would you say to that?
I mean, it's not like News of the World or something. So
here's the question. What are we supposed to do? You have all the gedolim of the time. Yeah. They were against settling the land of Israel. They were against. They told people not to go to Israel.
They weren't against settling the land. They were against Zionism.
Political Zionism.
Yeah. They were against people making an effort to go live in Israel and building up the land of Israel. They were not against giving money to people living in Israel. Of course they wanted Mashiach to come, but they didn't want anybody to go physically build the land of Israel. Why? Obviously. Because they were afraid that those people would abandon religion. They felt that it was an opportunity to abandon religion. But nonetheless, they were against it. You can't say they weren't against it. They actively discouraged it. They discouraged exerting energies to build the land of Israel. And felt that associating people who did that was treif.
I'm looking for the chasm of the difference between his ideology and Rav Kook's ideology.
Why?
Or is there a difference?
His is all based on Chassidus of Wertlach.
But ideologically?
What?
He just asked, was he the first to say that?
When you look deeper down, it's based on similarity. I'm not
but then
versed enough in Rav
Kook. The difference is
that... I mean, what are you looking for this specifically?
Yeah, what's his... What makes him special?
I don't understand your question.
But Russell, you
meaning what makes him special? Meaning what makes him different than Rav Kook?
We say this
Rav Kook's in Israel. He isn't. It's different audience, right?
Yeah, for sure it's a different audience. He's speaking to different people. Meaning is the Torah any different? I actually got an email from someone who's listening to the podcast who said that ultimately they're coming from different perspectives, but their Torahs are very much the same. Their ideologies are the same. Similar, very much similar, about the importance of building the land of Israel. I mean, we spoke about the language that he uses, because Rav Kook's language ultimately also emanates from many of these very same sources. You know, the Klipa, and the strength of the Yetzirah, and finally the inner Nitzotz, and I think from the small amount of Rav Kook that I'm familiar with, speaks about the power, the Koach of Eretz Yisrael that we spoke about before. So they're coming at it from different perspectives, but I really think the ideology is very similar. But I really want to go on, because he's going to develop this very, very strongly. כאשר אבי אמיץ השם בפנים מדיבר חזל, וזה בעריכות, בעריות מחוקות, I'm going to prove it to you. שהחיוב לכל איש ישראל, להשתדל בזה לשוב לארצנו הקדושה, you have to try to, meaning, he's not about giving money to Eretz Israel, he's not about theologically supporting Israel, he's about moving to Israel. ובזה נסבי, בזאת שם לקרב הגאולה, we will force the גאולה הקלם, השלימה במהר בימינו, אמן. ברם, however, so I'm on Lamed Chet on the top, צריך אני להודיע, I must tell you, שדברי ארוכים אל האדם הישראלי אשר רוצה לדע האמת לאמיתו ודרך ויכוח ומסע ומתן של הלכה. Listen, I'm only here to argue proofs. Real arguments, discussions. כי גם עניין הקץ הוא דבר הלכה. Because when Mashiach is going to come as an issue of הלכה, כאשר דרשו חזל בשבת, ובתנא דבעליא, the חזל דרשן in מסכת שבת, דבר השם זו הלכה, דבר השם זה הקץ. Right? Meaning it's the word of God, not only when what the halacha is about, like when to light candles on Shabbos. It's also an idea of when is Mashiach going to come. Horuba zeh. The Rabbanan taught, ki gam ma b'ma shenogei l'keitz hu k'dvar halacha, shetzvich v'ikuach zeh chachamim bazeh. When is Mashiach going to come, or what is Mashiach about? It requires chachamim to argue. Kasher gam hagam natadib rabbi kiva yosef mi v'shalayim katav b'pirusha nifle letan edib eliyahu. He wrote his amazing Pirush of Tana Be'eliyahu. V'lo yigra halacha zu dekeitz misha halachot ha'sho Torah. This shouldn't be any different than any other halacha. Shidvakhu chachamim bazeh halachot mitoratenu hakdosha. That the rabbi should bring proofs from the Torah. Ma la'asot bazeh. V'lami yigra halacha zu dibinyan ha'aretz misha halachot ha'Torah. Meaning he says, you want to discuss, you want to bring proofs, you want to bring texts, great. Ma gam halacha zu, shenogat, and especially this halacha, שנוגד לכבוד השם ולכבוד אומה הקדושה, that touches, relates to the honor of God, the honor of the holy nation, לכבוד ארצנו וקדושה. And the honor of our holy land. וזה בונה, וזה סותר, and this guy builds a proof, this guy knocks it down, עד שיתבררו הדברים כסמלה, until they're clear as a כסמלה, dress. How does he say it? I don't know. והשם יתברך יתעלה בכך, and God will be exalted, כבורה בשומת הבית. ושם במעביד כתב, there in the middle he wrote, דגם הסוטט צריך להביא ראיות. Someone wants to knock me down, you have to bring proofs. ולא לסתור בפיתומי מילי, באלמה ובלי ראיות. But don't just knock me down with clever word play, without proof. וזה לשון רבנו מהריבה בתשובות מעביד הנעל, he says, כל חכם רוצה להשיג על פסק חכם חברו. If you want to להשיג, to comment or to knock down, the psak of his friend, she'arich b'chtav la'atim dvarav, who wrote extensively to give reasons for his words. Eino yachol la'asig al pisco, rakim gam ken b'varer dvarav b'tanot tzodkot. You can only knock him if you bring clear proofs. Ava pipitume mile b'alma, but just pitume mile, just like, oh, how do you knock somebody down without bringing a proof? Well, you're a Zionist. You label him, and when you label him, you discredit him. And by discrediting him, then I don't even have to argue with you. Of course I don't have to. Of course you're wrong. You're a right winger. Right. Everybody knows the liberals, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? Now we can just discount you and not even have to associate with what you say. This is very common in talk radio. Okay.
But why would it be a common response among Gadolim? Real Gadolim don't just label a fellow Gadol.
Have you ever read the Paskevilim in Yerushalayim?
Not often.
Right. I mean...
So you read it once.
What?
No.
I wouldn't say it's all they do. I wouldn't say the Gedolim do it. The people who surround the Gedolim
right,
do it.
Not,
this person is a Mesit Umeidiyach and he's drawing people away from Torah. It's never about the issue. It's all polemic.
That's
in the 1940s, there were these dreggy newspapers and articles written about Gedolim and just mocking them.
Oh, yeah. You know, in the 40s, I don't know about the 40s. I think everybody was being killed by then. But the 20s, the 30s, in the midst of vibrant Jewish life. Look now, what do they say about the rabbis today? What do we say about the rabbis today? I mean, this week, the week before. They're a bunch of, you know, antiquated racists who have no sense of, God, whatever. Are you not, instead of relating to the issue, right, all you do is use demagoguery and polemic in order to discredit.
That's newspaper articles against. That's not the Lubavitcher Rebbe talking about this.
Subject. Oh, I'm sorry. Remember that article about Rabbi Chaim Amsalem? We started to share that with this discussion. What did they say about Rabbi Amsalem? That he was Mizaro Shel Amalek. Who said this about Rab Amsalem? Mm-hmm. What?
It wasn't Rabbi.
No, I'm sorry. The newspaper of Shas. Why? Because he had the temerity to suggest that. Temerity, that's a good word, right? That what? Uh-huh. Maybe people should go to work. It wasn't about discussing the issue per se. It wasn't about discussing, I mean, we have a political reality. We have a certain perspective. He did not adhere to the commandment of the Rav, which he did not do. So therefore, he is by definition evil. Was there any relationship whatsoever? Have you ever seen anybody relate to the substance of his argument? In all the discussions? So have things changed very much?
If this is off topic, just say yes.
But no, I'm already off topic.
It seems like that, is this, these types of arguments that are going on, is this just for the select people that are reading the newspapers? I mean, I've become not a big avid newspaper reader since I made Aliyah. I mean, this stuff doesn't touch me at all. This whole argument about he said this and he said that. And
but should Jews work or should Jews not work?
No, but just the whole name-calling thing is not, is it just affecting the people who are reading? I mean, it's the newspaper audience, or it's the, this is like the hot
topic. Well, his willingness to say this was a huge deal, because then all of the entire secular community could hold him up as an example of someone who had the strength to stand up to the establishment and say, maybe we should be giving, you know, 150 million shekel to Kolo guys to sit around learning. I mean, that's why he was the mouthpiece. He's hurting them more than anybody possibly could, because someone from the inside is actually suggesting.
He said,
yes, your own is suggesting.
Represents probably most Sephardim.
And then but to come back to our discussion, so imagine Rav Teichdal, who is this, I'm sorry, somebody corrected me, he was not a Sami, he was a Munkatcher Chassid.
Oh, really?
He's this huge Munkatcher Chassid, total anti-Zionist, and now he's coming along, it's almost exactly the same, and saying, all those things that we said, all those things, those I parroted what the Rebbeim said, and I said that party line, and I was wrong. And not only was I wrong, they were wrong. And the reason we were wrong, because Yetzirah got to us.
I don't know that you know, say, the Orthodox practice is not to have dialogues or many people in Orthodox, let's say, with Reform, and not to get engaged in debate, and not, but they're sort of like viewed as beyond the pale, and not to be engaged with.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe something along those lines is why.
Here's the problem. When Rav Teichdal raised this issue, do you think people wanted to talk to him about discuss the issues
no.
with him? No. What did they want to do?
I
don't think they put him a chair. I think they say, we love you.
I think you're full of Yetzirah. You're not exactly going to want to sit down with him, are you?
Right. Right. I think they said, we love you. On this one issue, you've just lost your marbles. Right? That's all they said. And we don't want to discuss the issue.
But knowing where he was coming from and knowing the power and the strength of his, wouldn't he have anticipated that and figured out something to get through it?
What do you mean, him?
I would think that.
Yeah, he wrote a book. He wrote a whole book. He wanted to, and he's saying exactly that. He's saying, I'm happy to discuss the issues with you, but don't come around with pitume mila, with polemic, and negate me that way. This is a halachic matter, and it deserves a serious halachic discussion, which is all I've been arguing the whole time. Also, I mean, I don't really have argument, but you know what I'm saying. And he's right in a real way. That very often we don't want to discuss the in a serious way are what we would call our sacred cows. You know, we don't. All of us have our sacred cows in our theologies, and if someone would come to seriously challenge you on it, you would say we negate them with polemic. We don't discuss the substance of the issue, and that's really what he's really.
We also have history of schools that argue with each other. There are still today there are schools that educatedly argue with each other. There's means of classic argument inside Torah literature.
There is means of classic argument of
inside Torah. We got distracted onto dross, where you have newspapers writing rubbish about.
Correct.
There are real.
We don't live in the age of the great debate anymore. I think that, I don't know when that died, but it was a long time ago, where you could really discuss and debate the, you know, the issues, especially in Orthodoxy, the differences in communities in Orthodoxy. We're going to present our position, and they're going to present their position, and, you know, and it'll be a reasoned debate and a very calm discussion.
I think there are some elements of the Orthodox community who wants to have blinders on, and some will say, "Let's, I'm open to talk anything with anybody, and challenge me, and I'll respond."
Correct, but the guy with the blinders on doesn't want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
How do you have a discussion with somebody who has blinders on and doesn't want to hear what you have to say?
Can't.
Correct, that's what he said. That's exactly right.
But I'm saying not everybody's like that.
But how do you convince someone who has blinders on that you're right?
It's good luck.
You can't.
It's a challenge.
This is the tragedy of Rav Teichtel. He wrote an entire book to convince a bunch of people who didn't want to hear a word he had to say. And we're not interested whatsoever. And we'll see as we move along, really towards the end, how sad it is. He didn't write this book for us. He didn't write it for the Zionists. The Zionists already think about the importance of moving to Israel. Just look at the people he's quoting, the Mara Kadisha, this Rabbi, that Rabbi. That's the power of the book. He's quoting all these Rabbanim and all these important people that, you know, that these Hasidim are considering important. And nonetheless, they don't want to hear what you have to hear to say.
Did anybody listen to him?
Al-Kain. These are very harsh words.
On the left. I mean, just Josh had said we don't want to listen to reform. I don't think that's a legitimate argument. Because once you say that Torah is not from God, we don't have a common basis for discussion. So I don't think comparing our not wanting to speak reform is the same thing as the Hasidim not wanting to listen to this rabbi. I don't think it's a fair comparison. That's all I want to say.
Although we would say some people would say the reform are full of Yetzer Hara. I mean, that's what
exactly they don't believe. They don't believe God gave the Torah. I mean, what are we going to discuss?
Yeah, okay.
Should we keep Shabbos or not? Well, I think it's a good idea. I mean, I enjoy it. It's really fun.
Should we discuss that? Shouldn't we discuss that?
Whether or not God gave the Torah?
I mean,
the Shabbos is.
Are we going to discuss whether God gave the Torah? We're going to discuss God gave the Torah.
Isn't that a matter for discussion? Wouldn't we want to convince the Reform Jury that God did give the Torah? Why are we already seceding, you know what I'm saying? We're saying, oh, since there was nothing common for discussion. I struggle with this as a rabbi. Mm-hmm. I was invited to my Joe Klein. He was the rabbi down the block. We used to play racquetball together. He would cream me because he played racquetball. And so he invited me once to have one of these, I said, you said kind of things, you know. And I struggled with it. Because on the one hand, you don't want to share a panel because the panel gives the legitimacy. On the other hand, he was inviting me to speak in front of 100, 200 Reform Jews.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, we called it. I said I would agree to do it if we called it agreeing to disagree. Like meaning lechachila. We don't really. And I think I did pretty well. You could listen to it if you want. It's on the website. I think all said and done, he had some points. He had some legitimate points. But all said and done, I think we did okay.
But I don't think that those congregants were dead set that God didn't give the Torah. The rabbinical school that teaches the Reform rabbis is dead set that God didn't give the Torah. I could be wrong.
The rabbinical school is dead set against not proselytizing. You have the choice to believe what you want. So you don't have to believe God gave the Torah.
I thought they were pretty clear, and that's where they came from.
What?
That God did not give the Torah. A wise man did it. No, God wasn't involved. And so you were reaching out to people who didn't have any strong opinion. If you're going to go talk to the, you know, Reform rabbinical assembly, they've already been indoctrinated. You had a whole bunch of people you had a chance to reach out to. I think what you do is wonderful. But I just, you know, when you're having a discussion, when we were in high school, we talked about...
So what would they say to Rav Teichtel? You just told me that my Rebbe is a sinner.
If he's... Okay.
So now what do we have to discuss?
Based on what?
Remember, by the way,
the
this is not you and me and our Rabbanim. Okay, you know, we, like the Rav said this, and we take it with a grain of salt. You ever meet someone who's a chassid of a Rebbe? Who's a real chassid of a Rebbe? You ever, like, meet a ger chassid? Like, they're, like... They really, it's not that they trust the Rebbe and they have a sense of insider. They believe in the Rebbe. They really do. You know, the true Hasidim. Okay, now if I go to that guy and I say, well, just understand about issue X, he's just wrong. And it's his Yetzer Hara. Do we have anything in common to discuss? That being said, Val Kane. He gets even harsher. I would like underline here. Mishu mishuchad miikara b'davar. Lo yireh ha'emet v'lo yodeh lidvareinu. Someone who is, what's the word mishuchad? An important word.
Bribed.
From the get-go about a matter. He won't see the truth, and he won't admit to our words. No proof in the world will help. They are stricken with blindness. And the nigiya is the...
One second,
nigiya, what's the word I'm looking for? What?
Bias.
Not the... Nigiya is their personal interest in their midst. To aver in mayhem will blind their eyes. V'yachishu afilu dvarim brurim kishemesh. And they will negate things that are clear as the sun. So basically he says, anybody who disagrees with me is...
But he's laying
is
blind.
Is because...
Bribed.
Because he is bribed by his own personal interest.
But then he's labeling them.
Hold
the
on.
The very thing that he doesn't want them to do to him.
Correct. Ki mi lanu gadol mi meraglim. Who is greater than the meraglim? Asher hapasuk ha'id aleim she'anashim k'sherim hayu. Who were the meraglim? Remember, the meraglim weren't these zhlubs. We like to think the meraglim, Moshe picked them out of a sewer. No. Who were the meraglim? They were great leaders. Ve'afo pikein, nonetheless. Yan shahaita negiyat hanesiut tumna b'kirbam. Right. Remember the famous is in Rashi even. Why did the Meraglim bring a negative report? What did the Midrash say? Why did the Meraglim bring a negative report about Eretz Yisrael? Because...
trying to protect the
Jewish people? That's one interpretation. What's another interpretation? Shehayu yireim, they feared. She'im yavo l'Eretz Yisrael yovdu nesiutam. They figured that when they got to Israel, they would lose their jobs. Ma'asu be'eretz chemda. Right? They were repulsed by the land of desire. V'hit'u acherim imahem, and they turned people away with them. Ad shegarmu lanu galut achel azen. So they called us this terrible galut. Yeshuva Kalev itchil litvakeach imahem. They started fighting. V'lochiach lahem shemoshe emet. V'terato emet. V'amu alo na'ale. Yeshuva and Kalev, but they started arguing in them philosophically. V'arichu v'ta'anot v'chachot shiatzlichu. And they proved it. We're going to win. We have this benefit and that benefit, and it's great. Kasher katav Rashi'za, v'af al pikein lo ilu b'ta'anatam nenatzcham. They couldn't win. Why? Ya'an shehameraglim hayu meshuchadim b'negi'a shaitat muna b'libam. Because the meraglim were, they had a self-interest, and that self-interest blinded them to the truth. Just so you know, by the way, I mean, the Torah says explicitly, any self-interest you have blinds you to the truth. Once you have a self-interest in a matter, you cannot be objective. It's impossible. Physically impossible. I mean, emotionally impossible, because you're always looking at the issue from your perspective of your self-interest. You're going to evaluate if you have to decide with your self-interest at heart. It's just human nature. Okay, so what's he implying about the people in his generation who reject Zionism? He's not implying anything. He says it explicitly. Kein hu bizmanenu. Okay, he doesn't have to imply anything. This is the way it is in our time. Afilu rabbanim v'rabim chasidim. Rabbis and rebbes and chasidim. V'leze yesh rabbanu tova. V'leze admurus tova. V'leze esek tov. O fabrik tov. O misra tova. He's like ripping their hearts out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
If your mate used to...
I should translate. This guy's a rabbanus. This guy's an admor. This guy's got a good business. This guy's got a good factory or a good job. V'nechbedayim sipukado. Ashamara al goda ola al rosham. With great, they're important people. Im yelchul eretz Yisrael, yitofef matzavon. And what happens when they make aliyah?
Become a
shmeklik like everybody else.
He just needs a little more tact.
Yeah. There's no tact.
What's that?
There's no tact here.
Except. Yeah. Except.
He's right.
Yeah.
How do you not help
someone? Say it like it is. See, that's the thing. That's the thing.
How can you make a decision without self-interest? Of course they have self-interest. The question is, do they have interest in their people who live with them, who they control? I mean, that's
can they be?
It's a different level of self-interest.
These people have self-interest. in the midst of the Holocaust? I mean, wasn't that
kind of... He was talking about probably before, leading up to the Holocaust. You know, what's the Holocaust?
There's always self-interest. Doesn't matter.
What's that?
There's always self-interest, even in the midst of the Holocaust. You know, right. Still a lot more.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's... I mean...
Liquidated
really?
He had time.
He had time. He was still doing fine. I mean...
Really?
It's just... It's almost like, on the one hand, it's shocking how strongly he indicts them. You hear his anger and his bitterness. You know what I'm saying? Do you hear that in him? Someone who was strong.
You're assuming it's like the anger and bitterness is that they haven't seen it yet. It's not that he's anti them in terms of, well, I really hate that person.
No,
he's
I don't,
just saying that. Isn't he just saying that? He's like, how can you not see it?
I don't know, but how can
light, you can't see it.
I think he's angry that I get a sense, and this is totally total conjecture. He's angry that these people had a leadership position and they could have saved thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of lives, and instead, because of their own narrow self-interest, they discourage people from leaving.
Speculate. I think people. I mean.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I mean, he's speculating.
You don't hear his anger. You don't hear it dripping.
Sure.
You know, he basically called every Hasidic Rebbe what? He equated them with the Meraglim.
Right.
Do you know what the Meraglim were? The Meraglim had no chelik in Olam Haba. The Gemara says incredibly, incredibly harsh, negative things about them. I mean, really, they're like probably the greatest villains in Jewish history. They caused the greatest calamity in Jewish history, causing the entire nation to be killed. And only a new generation could enter the land of Israel. And he just said, Rabbanim, v'rebim, v'chassidim. And why did they do it? Because you got a business, and you got a community, and you got an ex, and you got a this, and you can't see the truth. I'm just saying what he said.
Okay, so he was probably going a little overboard.
You think?
I'm saying it's a little cynical, because we all here made Aliyah, and we all made Aliyah not because it was in our self-interest to do so. It's because we believed in something.
No.
People can overcome their self-interest by idealistic motivations if you're able to and willing to do so.
He's saying the people who don't.
Position.
Well, he's saying basically. By the way, if you're listening to this,
today than it was.
Hold on a second. If you're no. That's what I wanted to say. I don't think it is at all. If you're listening to this and you happen not to be living in Israel, I'm sorry, but the question is like this: someone who doesn't come. How many of us can say we don't come out of altruism?
No, but can I just say I actually think it does apply today because I've actually heard about some things. Like Rabbonim in South Africa have also been accused of exactly this.
That
is it because, you know, the South African numbers have dwindled anyway. If they dwindle much further, there isn't the support in the community to keep going with the older people who can't move and some people who can't leave South Africa. There's been exactly, I've heard it in the South African
community. And therefore what? So the rabbis shouldn't go or they don't go because...
This is saying is like, why aren't the South African rabbis coming out and say, yeah, let's all go. There's nothing left in South Africa. It's not going to last. Let's go and make Aliyah now.
Well, will the people go if they say that?
And maybe, I don't know. You would have thought if they're, you know, there's certain leadership, etc.
I
don't know how true it is.
I think there's a lot of truth to this. People are afraid to leave what they have in order to come here and be a shmendrik.
Of course. In the terms of what he's writing,
what's that?
It's the second.
But is that, one second, but is that an objective decision? Meaning of all, you're right. It's your narrow self-interest. Say, I have a good job, I have a good position. I don't know what I'm going to have over there. I mean, it makes sense in a way. But are you able then to make an evaluation and say, with my religious worldview, with my spiritual perspective, if all things were equal, if I had no job here, no job there, where would I be? Where would you be? So if it's obvious to you that if you had no job here, no job there, you would come here. Right? Then the only thing that's keeping you back is your job and your fear of not having one.
But there's got to be one nice little Hasidic Rebbe who's all pure, right, during this time. I mean, he's just tearing everyone apart.
Pretty much. I mean...
But this is the second introduction. Has he written a whole book, seen the response, and then written a follow-up?
No. It's before. Because he signs this in Tafshin Gimel. I think it's really Hakdama. Because he's going to need...
He's written two books before he's even started writing.
It's all the same.
He's given a shirim, no one's responding.
I think so.
He's quite...
I mean, basically, the Hakdamot are laying out much of his theology.
Right.
And then we're going to see he really expands on them in the book. I mean, like, beautiful essays. But he expands on them. After the Hakdamah Shniyah, then there's the Pticha, what's a p'ticha, an opening. So you have an introduction, and then another introduction, then another opening, and then chapter one. I mean, it's like, it's all, you can call it chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, chapter four. But, I mean, that's what's so, I would say, shocking about the book. It's so raw, but in some ways, so honest. You know, frightening in a way. Okay, in the book Sefer HaBrit, Pitmar Meruah L'Arichut HaGalut, Kach Zman Rav Ayin Sham. Va'anashim ka'elu, people like this, Hema Meshuchadim, they are bribed, Al Yedei HaNegiyah Hazu HaTmuna Amok B'Libam, from this self-interest that is hidden deep in their hearts. Ad She'inam Yodim Be'atzmam SheHaNegiyah Doveret M'Libam, to the point that they themselves don't know that their self-interest is speaking for them. And I think that this is a, he's saying, are they acting out of self-interest consciously? No, it's not conscious self-interest. It's subconscious self-interest.
You're heading towards like Big Brother doublespeak here.
Yeah, I'm not heading anywhere. I'm just reading the words.
I'm just saying. It's like, oh, it's because you don't even know it yourself, right? I mean,
Hashem Eiti Ken Kain V'Shem Rabbeinu HaKadosh Ish Elokim Rishaya Muskat Miprag B'Sefer Shut Mishne Sachir. He wrote it in the Hesped Alagon Rav Meir Shapira of Lublin. Right, he wrote a hesped. Shirov pa'amim, most times, Adam mishateatzmo, he fools himself. V'choshev shema'asav hem l'shem shamayim. By the way, this is totally true. Right, why do we do things? We convince ourselves that we're acting l'shem shamayim. U'be'emet u'menuhal yideh ha'negi'ah shetmuna amok amok b'kirbo. Right, most people who do things that are really bad, they tell themselves and they're convinced that they're doing it l'shem shamayim. But in reality, they're doing it even though they're doing it out of their own self-interest. Who about Smo? I know your day. He doesn't know. But so Vesh is the Rabbi Shem Shamayim. Vehevi ra'ayal zemi ma'ase Avraham Eliezer. He brought a proof to this. V'ayim zeh v'divrei ha'chaim l'chanukah. Look in the book of Divrei Chaim shekatab da Adam ro'eh ma sherotze lirot. Meaning what? Very simply, people see what they want to see. V'al ken, mishu meshuchad me'ezeh davar, if you are bribed for whatever reason, batel mimenu koach ha'achra'ah, Lishpot emet. He is unable to decide what's right or not. V'zehu atam she'asra Torah l'shofet l'kach shochat. Why is the judge forbidden from taking bribes? Very simple reason. Because there's no truth anymore. When you take a bribe, once you have a personal interest, then there's no truth. There's no middle ground. There's no way of you to be objective. So, I mean, he doesn't mince words. He basically says what he says. He says what he thinks. Okay, we're going to read the parentheses. Look at the word book. I mean, I just like reading these things because you see just how learned he was. Look at the book Divrei Chaim and the Hashmatot, the additions to Parshat Vayakel. He says the following: Ach ha'erev rav kol chasadim de'avdei legarmayhu avdei. The erev rav, any kindness they did it for themselves. Kinira be'alil sharabanim v'achasidim v'abalabatim shebedor. Hema b'avonoseinu arabim ruban me'erev rav. Right, the rabbanim and the chassidim, they are erev rav. Rotzim lishvor al tzibor. So why do they do what they do? Daniel, you have a problem? They want control. V'chol ma'aseim rak legarmayhu lekabel kavod u'mamon. And they do things for honor and money. V'lachayin en litchaber imayim rak im ovdim be'emet. Those people who serve God, shemosim lashan afsham lashem, lo lekabel shum to'elet ba'atzmam. I mean, I'm sorry, sometimes the things look very similar today. Rather, look at some of the agendas put out. What's really best for the community? What's really best for the country? I look at some of the things that people are saying. You really think it's best? I mean, I'll get political here, I don't mind. Is it really best for 80,000 people not to work? 80,000? Is that really the ideal? Is that really best for their families? You know, kind of like pressure and psychological damage and communal damage is doing to people, not being able to support their families and being dependent on somebody else. Is that really healthy? So how could somebody come and say, no, this is the ideal? I really think, I don't know, I find it hard to understand. I mean, I'm in favor of Torah learning. Work half a day. 10% of the people should learn. But making everybody do it and putting such social pressure on people, I mean, do I have to tell you all people how many people have come to your door and Chutz La'aretz asking for help when it's, you know, to marry off their kids? That's normal? That's normal life? So why are these people doing this? I believe that there is certain self-interest and control. They're in positions of power, and they'll lose it. And are they doing it consciously? No. But I think that subconsciously, there's an element of, if we encourage this to happen, then people will no longer listen to us. End of polemic. Okay. I mean, things haven't changed. It's human nature. So why would, were rabbis really concerned for the spiritual well-being of people and they didn't want them to move to Israel? Of course they were. But on some level, to what degree were they concerned of losing their communities? And if all the Hasidim up and leave, like who's to say they're going to follow you when you get to Israel? People used to say that, oh, I heard Rabbi Riskin took his whole community to Israel, which is not true. Right, he built a community in Israel, but his community in the west side of Manhattan didn't follow him. A couple of people followed him. You should do that too. And I was like, yeah, very nice. And I could get up and show and announce that I'm going to leave, but not everybody's going to follow. And they didn't. They're wonderful people. They didn't follow. You know what I'm saying? So,
did you ask them to?
Did I ever explicitly ask them to? I did give this shir in that. We did learn the sefer. I explicitly asked him to. No, I did not.
You did say the seat next to me is free.
What? The seat next to me? I did not. Should I have?
I don't know.
What?
They were waiting for the.
They were waiting for a personal invitation? I don't know. I didn't want to be the guy once I decided to make Aliyah, just to pressure everybody to make Aliyah. I thought if they saw me do it, that would be enough. I don't know. וגם רבין איש אלו כי מחסם סופר, חלק וב מהשוט סימן נון תד, נהג כתב יוסי בזה, this is all shown now, he says, וידעת שמרגלה בפומי תמיד. There's a pearl of wisdom that I like to share. אין יעקב שלא יפגענו לבן. There is no Yaakov who hasn't been gotten to by לבן. ומעטי לבן שיפגעו בהם יעקב. He says, but there's very few לבנס who Yaakov got to them. You got that? He says, there isn't most Yaakovs that Lavan got to them. But very few Lavans Yaakov got to. Ushmar zeki hu emet. Ubechon hadarim b'tirim amitiyim. This is the truth. Ritzoni ki brit kitkruta. I'm telling you, this is the way it is. Kol tamid chacham et tzadik amuchun Yaakov. Yesh lo mitzirim neagdo amuchunim Lavan. Every time chacham who's Yaakov has people attacking him or called Lavan. Amna mu'atim ha-reshayim ha-elu asher yimtzu neagdo amishu achayhem b'rama'ut. Kiyako Neri Lavan. The people who are Rishayim are very few who found against them people who are their brothers in falsitude. Rabbi Yodea, no, ki arbei pa'amim hafachti behem, umehem, umehamonam, ve'amarti li yishamer meyem la'asot ha'akov li mishor, ve'amarti li vruach min haktana shebet tarmitam, ve'nichshalti begadol mi'en. So I run away from these people who are running after me to try to get me to do things. That's what Chassam Sofer says. They want me to do things, they want me to sign things, they want me to agree to things, they want me to be involved in causes. Everybody's got an angle. And I run away from these people. V'lo zeh bilvad ameh ha'aretz v'hamoneham, el elomdei Torah v'afilu rabbanim, kol shein dover amet bilvavo v'lo ha'yosher v'atzedek merkavo, harchek darkecha mimenu, stay away, aser raglecha minitivo. Ad kan lashon ha'kodesh. הם כתבו כך בדורם. They wrote that in their generation, שהיה באמת עוד דור דעה. מה נאמר בדורנו, וענן, מה נענה בתרעה? What do we say now? What about in our generation? And then I can add, if Rav Teitel is saying that in his generation, so what about us now? You know what I'm saying? How much more so? Everybody's got an idea about how to save the world. But you ask yourself, with this guy's idea to save the world, what's in it for him? You know, and especially, I don't know if you notice, like in Israel, you see a lot of that. Like, there's always like an angle. You know, and they're always good ideas, but it's always got to be like, you know, what's this guy's angle? A lot of truth to that. I ended up Yisham, Yigitin, Shamusham, Kishem Shaben HaKodesh HaKodeshim, the Ben Chole Chulin, between the Holy of Holies and the profane of profanes. Kach Ben Doreinu LeDorasha Rab Yossi. I'm Rab Yishmael, Rab Yossi. Kishem Shaben Zahab LaAfar, between gold and dirt. כח בדין דורין לדרוש אבא עד כאן לשנו הרי עד כמה הדרות נופלין ומרחקים how far generations fall בין דור האב לדרו הבן from the father's generation to the son's in Cain וכמה היה לנו ליפול להתרחק מדרם של הקדושים הנאו לדורינו they were like so holy and we're like nothing אף הפי אם כן כתבו כך על אנשי דרם and they wrote that the Chassam Sofer wrote that about the rabbis in his times Alachat kama v'kama mayishlamer al dorenu. Now let's finish this paragraph. V'lanashim ke'elu, and people like that. Afilu yavilem alfei alafim rayot min haTorah. I can bring them 10,000 proofs. Lo yu'ilu klal lahatot libam lahaymet. What am I making a difference? It won't bring them any closer to the truth. Kasher kva iral gil Yoshua v'kalev im hamiraglim. It happened from Yoshua and Kalev. They said the truth. Everybody reading the Torah knows the truth. Didn't matter. Al kain dvarai b'sefer anochichi. In this book, my words, hem muchuvanim rak la'adam arotel le'dah emet kasher hu. It's only for the people that want to know the truth. V'hema yidnu ozen kashevet limilai amarim po. And they'll listen. V'ani omer kiblu da'ati. You want to take what I say? Great. Ela rak b'masa'a matan shal halacha bati po. I came to argue in halacha. U'mishir tzel yistor dvari yistor. You want to argue? Argue. Rak b'rayot muchacho midev chazal kasher hiveti. I have chazals, you bring chazals. Ani edvakech ima bazer kasher yad Hashem alay letova. Aval im yavoh elay dvarim b'duyim greida. If you want to come at me with dvarim b'duyim, attacks. B'li rayot mi chazal, ein shom enem kivuwa b'mambit hanal. So that's the end of the piece, that's the end of our discussion for today. What do they want to do to him? He says, I want to argue with you, I want to have a discussion with you. And what did he find when he had discussions with people? They were singularly uninterested in having educated discussions. They wanted to, they negated him. And basically he says, if you're not interested in hearing what I have to say, my book's not for you. And what did the people say to him? Good, because I wasn't going to read it anyway.
It's a bit long.
What? It is a bit long? Yeah. I mean, it's sad in a way. He basically says, if you're not interested in reading my book, if you're not interested in hearing what I have to say, don't read my book. And all the people who are not interested in hearing what he has to say, don't read his book. But it's almost, I mean, you have to really ponder, go back, read over what he said. He's extremely harsh. But on the other hand, sometimes harsh is true. And to what degree was his harshness accurate? That people who are sometimes against things, they're against things because of their own self-interest. And their own self-interest can sometimes lead to tragedy. You're frowning.
If you're desperate to prove something so important, why resort to this technique of convincing people?
What do you mean?
You're not going to win or prove or gain or benefit anybody with this discussion. You've just pushed everybody you're trying to bring towards your way. How is this of any benefit to the people he's desperately trying to...
But he's saying if you're not... He says in order for... You have to first be open to hearing what I have to say. I mean, basically, but he says if you're not, you're...
Because you're sucked in by the Yetzer Hara, then just...
Yeah, a nice way of me putting it is, say, look...
A nice way to be putting it.
Like you say, you know, look, all these years you thought about it this way, you know, and you go, why didn't you think about it this way? Because another way, because, you know, these are...
But perhaps if you looked at it from this perspective...
Saying, look, you're all evil. And, by the way, you need to think about it, what I'm saying. I mean, that's like... It's
and the people who...
Saying, it's not exactly
wait a second, get even farther. And the people who guarded you until now...
Yeah.
Right? Did so out of their own narrow self-interest.
Yeah. And now, by the way, will you listen to me?
Correct.
I agree, it's not exactly...
And he's referring to really spiritual gedolim
The only way that allows him to say this is because
like my grandfather comes from that same area.
Yeah.
He had a very high reverence for the Hasidic Rebbeim, but didn't necessarily ascribe to all of their deities.
By the way, he's out of Munkach. He's writing this in Budapest. He's already in Budapest when he writes this.
He's writing at a very passionate time, too. I mean, you can't get in someone's head that has seen these kinds of things. It's...
So you want to be down him in that way. Let's give him the favor, the benefit of the doubt. But he says it himself. He says he's writing out of pain. And he's writing out of anguish. And maybe the fact that he would say such things...
And he's running out, he knows he's running out of time.
So. Right. And he's desperate. So you hear it in his voice. So we're not so desperate and we're not in pain.
Right. He has nothing.
But the question for us is, like, you know, we have to struggle with this also. There are people that were against the building of Eretz Yisrael. They were just simply against it. So... At some point, you have to say either they were right or they were wrong. You know what I'm saying? Were they right or were they wrong? And if they were wrong, how could they have made such a grave error? So how do you deal with that question? So he says they were negative influence. They had self-interest. You decide. Say it in a nice way. If they were wrong, why were they wrong? Why were these Greek Gedolim wrong? How could they say not to do something that we believe, that I believe is a core value in Judaism? I've stumped you. To be continued. Okay, we'll stop here.